as I was beginning and looking this morning, there are so many great Christmas stories in the Bible, especially you could think of Matthew, you could think of Luke. And today we're going to go a little bit of a different way. We're going to look into Philippians 2, 1 through 11. I'm going to call this today the other Christmas story. This is maybe Paul's version of the Christmas story. So when you think of Paul, it doesn't have all of the pleasantries like angels and donkeys and sheep and stables and wise men and shepherds. It kind of leaves all of that stuff. It kind of puts that stuff on the side burner, and it kind of talks about maybe a little bit more of the theological side of what that is. The last few years as a family, Rachel and our family, we've gone somewhere. We've either been in Phoenix, Arizona, or right after church last year, we left and we went to Myrtle Beach to hang out with some friends. And I find that it's such a different environment when you go to Myrtle Beach and it's warm and you're on the beach on Christmas. It's not too warm, but a little bit warm. It's really great. I can see some beach people. They're like, yeah, this sounds awesome. But we went and we took all of our stuff. We drove right after church. We got there really late. And we did something that I thought was kind of fun and maybe a little bit special. The kids, we put them to bed. I think that was around 1:30 in the morning. They went to sleep. And then we set up the whole entire the condo we were in for Christmas. We set up Christmas trees. We hung Christmas lights. We got all their gifts, which they didn't even know that we brought with us. We got all their gifts out. And when they woke up in the morning, the whole place was decorated like Christmas. We slept very little, but the kids loved it and got to enjoy the moment. They got to maybe have a great Christmas moment right there. I think of other times we celebrated with Pastor Dave, my dad and mom yesterday, as my in-laws are coming in town, actually getting here today. And there's days, those more traditional, where we had our cinnamon rolls and we enjoyed the food. I don't know if anybody else. Maybe you do the same thing. How many do the same general food every single year? Like that's your thing? Yeah, a good number. So we eat cinnamon rolls, way too many cinnamon rolls, like way too many. And then always, that's true, there's no such thing, I agree. But then always, it's like 2 hours later, we do lunch. And I'm always like, it seems to me like we could at least give ourselves, you know, 3 or 4 hours to let our, no, 2 hours later, we're right back in it. And because it's Christmas, it's almost like a Thanksgiving feast. We have all of the stuff, so many sides, so many, I would call them dessert sides. I mean, they could be dessert, but we don't do that. They are just a part of the meal. And then we have dessert after the meal. And we eat that for some reason, generally, although yesterday we refrained. It was really good. But normally right after that. So by the time we get to about 1 o'clock, we are so sick. Everyone wants to go home, right? You never know what the experience might be like. But these memories that are made, I think, last a lifetime. These memories are so special. And I pray that you in your life have moments where you've made Christmas memories. There may have been seasons and times when they weren't quite how you would have hoped. And that's okay. But I pray that this Christmas and every Christmas that we strive to lift up the name of Jesus, look to who he is, but also in that, look to get together with our family. Look to get together with our friends and people that are around us. Today, when we're looking at Philippians, this book is kind of wrote to combat disunity in the church of Philippi. This book is something where there's a couple of ladies that are fighting, and because they're fighting, Paul writes and says, this isn't good. We need to be unified. We need to be a family. We need to be put together. We can't be fighting against one another if we want to see the kingdom of God spread around the earth, right? If we are fighting inwardly, then how in the world can we proclaim a message of love and peace and hope? For us at Christmas time, I'm so thankful that Radiant Life Church, I feel like right now there's such a unity in the body of Christ that we can enjoy coming and enjoy being with each other. But even here today, I would bet that there's some situations where maybe there's someone sitting on one side or the other side of the church because there's a problem. And I believe that today, this Christmas story speaks directly to who Jesus is and to what he wants to do and what he did do for us, so that we can then go and do the same for for people, for the world around us. I mentioned in this Christmas story, there's no baby. He doesn't mention Mary. He doesn't mention Joseph. In fact, you might have read through this over and over again and never even thought of this being anything to do with the Christmas story. You may not even have put those two things together. As we jump to Philippians 2, 1 through 11, it says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." And now the Christmas story portion. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, by being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This morning, Lord, we come before you and we thank you that we get to read your word, we get to study. And Lord, I pray that each of us in the room today would hear your heart. Lord, what you're trying to say, why Paul wrote these words, why this is put in the word, in the Bible, Lord, I pray that today we would hear and apply it to our own lives. And Lord, just as you are the ultimate example of humility, Lord, I pray that we would leave humbled before you, but humbled in a way to serve the world around us, to lift up your name so that every knee can bow and know you, King of heaven and earth. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. So as we look at this, the making of a miracle, the other Christmas story, I think we see a few things around humility. The first is the shift of humility. It begins to go through a list of things, of encouragement, of comfort, from love, of participation in the Spirit, affection and sympathy. These things that kind of jump out at us, things that I want to be a part of my life. I think if we can do those, if we can walk in those areas, that we're going to be able to overcome things that even we were praying against this morning. We're not going to have anxiety, and we're not going to have some of those areas when we can walk in the comfort, encouragement, and love of our God, when we can experience what he has and what he wants to speak and how he wants to move. But they kind of lead to an obligation to fulfill in verse 2. To be of the same mind and love, being in full accord of one mind. Right? If we are going to walk in encouragement and love and affection and sympathy and participation in the Spirit, we have to then be pouring out who he is, the same mind, loving those around us, making a difference in our world, showing the world who Jesus is, not by what we say or what we could post on Facebook, but by living and acting and doing what God has called us to do. I believe that there was no one in all of time that shifted, even in a humility sort of way, than Jesus. You might say, what? Jesus couldn't have been not humble. But there was that moment when he's in heaven, when he's God, when he's in heaven serving and ruling the world, if you want to say, all of creation. And there's a moment when he had to decide, am I going to shift from being on the throne? Am I going to shift to stepping down and to including what God would have me to do, to go and to go to the earth? God the Father, God the Son, being in like mind together, in agreement to come the earth. So he could walk humbly in submission to the Father to complete the plan of salvation that they had set out for us. There's that moment. Can you imagine being God on the throne when everything is perfect? And it's like, yeah, hey, Father, I'll go. God the Father may be asked. You could almost imagine this scene or in their spirit knowing, son, it's time. You need to go. And Jesus saying, yes, I'm in. I will go. I will serve. I will do whatever it takes. And I believe that the shift of humility in our life, the shift that I don't think was a change for Jesus because he was God, he was perfect, but the shift was not, I'm going to sit on the throne. It wasn't just to stay there, but it's not about me, but it's about us. And in our life, if we want to follow Jesus, we must think about the people around us more than ourselves. And no one could have done that more than Jesus, who left heaven to come and to be born in a stable, to die for you and to die for me. Nobody could have had a bigger sacrifice from me to than our Savior. He gave everything for you and for me. And all of a sudden, when we begin to look here and I begin to be challenged myself, is my life about me and what I want, or is my life about us? And even more than just us in this room, us people that maybe are in the grocery store, people that don't think like me, or people that don't speak like me, is my humility, is my response to God about the greater of humanity? That is who I care about, that is who I love, because Jesus, he was the ultimate in saying it's not about me on my heavenly throne, but it's about the all of humanity and loving and caring and serving, and I'll do anything, even to the point of death on a cross. The shift from me to us. But the next is, there's an example, and that exact thing, Jesus, that we talked about, there couldn't be a greater example of humility. I'm going to read verse 5-8 again. It says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. A mysterious and miraculous thing happened. Jesus being born fully God as well as fully man. What an amazing moment, something that we've never experienced on the face of the earth. Verse 6, it says he was in the form of God. In their day, that word form, for the audience, it would have been like a wax seal representative of God. It would have meant that he had full authority of God. My family, we were watching Lord of the Rings, and there's one of those moments where they get the wax and they've got the envelope and they pour the wax on the thing, and then they get the ring and they press it in and close the envelope with the wax, with the seal or the ring to lock it in. Why did they do that? Why have you seen that maybe in movies or maybe even you've got something really cool and you have your own wax sort of seal that you do? It's because that seal takes the authority. It takes what, just like if they were present, the fact that that's sealed with the king's seal, the fact that that's sealed with that person of power seal, means that that letter goes full authority as if they were standing there preaching or speaking or talking, proclaiming whatever that word is. The Romans, they practiced this using that ring. Paul tells us that Jesus was the exact representation of God when he came to earth, not giving up any of his deity or any of his authority. God himself, Jesus, came to earth and gave everything. But then the second part, the form of God, but he was also in the likeness of men. In verse 7, he was the exact representation of God and the exact representation of man. He was taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself. What? This wasn't an exchange. It wasn't something where all of a sudden he was no longer God, but it was adding to himself that God became a man and walked on the face of the earth. He humbled himself. And one of the greatest miraculous and mysterious things is, how can God himself walk on the face of the earth as God, but also be Man, how can God himself walk on the face of the earth and experience pain and suffering and death? How can the God of the universe walk on the earth and need to go up to a mountain and pray and spend 40 days in the wilderness? How can the God of the universe humble himself to put off not being God, but put off the powers that he could have just been where he wanted to go and do what he wanted to do? There was no need for Jesus to be on the cross for Jesus. He was on the cross for you and for me. There was no need for Jesus to be in a stable or to be in a manger. No need for Jesus, but there was a need for you and me, that he came as God and walked the earth as a man. When I think of this, can you imagine the moments when maybe he's in middle school and maybe he is, people are picking on him? And I've always wondered that mysterious portion. Could he have said, excuse me, sorry, could he have said, "Be gone with you," and like flicked the guy away because he's all powerful, could have done whatever he wanted, but he chose, no, I'm gonna live as a man and be who I've been called to be. He was our example. He humbled himself. It says that he did this by becoming obedient to death on the cross. He became obedient to serve God for you and me, to give everything. He left heaven's glory, was found in the appearance of man in order to make the difference, to be able to save you, care of my sins and the things that I've done, the things that you have done, and the things that people have done against us. He gave it all for the sin and the problems and the situations of the world. Hebrews 5:8 says, "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered." He gave everything. And I just have a few things that I believe we could look at and say, wow, he humbled himself. He was humble in that he took the form of a man. Right? He could have come as anything, but he didn't come as a glorious creature like an angel. He humbled himself that he was born in an obscure, oppressed place. He didn't put himself in a palace. He didn't put himself in a special place. But maybe you felt in your life like you were put in a place that was painful or hurtful or obscure. Jesus was born into one of those sorts of place, obscure, no one would ever know. Somebody that was born in Bethlehem. He was born into a lower class, maybe even poverty, among people in the world who were despised. He was humble in that he was born as a child instead of appearing as a man. He was humble in submitting to the obedience appropriate to a child in a household. I cannot imagine if my kids were God, right? My children, I have 5 of them. If one of them was God walking on the earth and I am telling them what to do. And I don't know about you, I'm sure all the other parents, you're perfect in the place, but when your parents lose their temper on you and you're God and you're like, yes, I will do what you say. Yes, thank you. Right? He humbled himself and gave everything. Humbled himself in learning and practicing a trade, in fact, a humble trade of being a builder, a woodworker. He humbled in the long wait until he launched out in public ministry, the patience he had to have to serve and to do what God had called him to do. He was humble in the command of the companions and disciples he chose. He didn't choose the cream of the crop. He chose the people that were leftovers that had been pushed aside by society. He was humble in the audience he appealed to and the way he taught. He was humble in the temptations he allowed but then endured and pushed away. He was humble in the weakness, hunger, thirst, and tiredness he endured. He was humble in his total obedience to his heavenly Father. He was humble in his submission to the Holy Spirit, in choosing and submitting to death, even worse, death on a cross. He was humble in the agony of his death, in his shame and mocking and public humiliation. He was humble in enduring the spiritual agony of his sacrifice on the Christ. Jesus, the biggest making of a miracle was him humbling himself and coming to earth for you and for me. He gave everything. He gave everything to us. The shift from me to us, but then the example from high to low. He went from the throne of heaven to a manger. He went from the throne of heaven to having his diaper changed. He went through from the throne of heaven to having parents that were way imperfect raise him and build him up. He went from the throne of heaven to leading a group of men. He went from the throne of heaven to a cross, knowing that he could rescue himself, but saying no. Those moments in the Garden of Gethsemane when he had to make the choice and say, not my will, but your will be done. He didn't want to die on a cross, but he did it. Because he was humbled to obedience for you and for me. He wanted the result, and therefore he went and went all out for your sins and my sins. And when I think of Christmas and I think of the Christmas story, this is what it is all about. The background is so much more powerful than even angels flying in the sky, way more powerful than donkeys or magi coming from the east. Way more powerful is Jesus. Humbling himself, giving it all, laying it all down at the feet of Jesus, or at the feet of God, doing it so we can then do the same from high to low. The third thing today is there's an exaltation of humility. We've seen the shift, we've seen the example, what Jesus did, but the exaltation of humility. Verse 9 through 11 says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When I even look at this, some commentaries, different things, but Charles Spurgeon, he said something that I think is so good. Just think about that. Christ gave everything. Christ died. Christ rose again. He came back so that we could take our sin. And not even then could Christ exalt himself. Not even then did Christ say, I am the man. He didn't say, I'm the best. He didn't say, I'm God. But he allowed his heavenly Father to lift him up as his Father crowned him. Then he experienced everything. His Father lifted him up and put him in the place on the throne. His Father moved in his life. And today, I believe that when we look at our lives and look at the church, when we look at what Christmas is all about, it's about humbling ourselves to the point where we say it doesn't matter what people say, it doesn't matter what people think, it doesn't matter what people do, I'm going to be obedient to my heavenly Father. I'm gonna be obedient to who he is, above culture, above friends, above family. And I'm gonna let God be the one that chooses or doesn't choose to put me in any position or in any place that is exalted. I'm gonna let God do what God does best, and I am gonna step back and be obedient. I'm gonna get low and I'm gonna serve. I'm gonna honor who he is. Because of what Jesus did, because of Jesus' heart and his humility, those words that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, the whole world will be brought before him. As I think about the Christmas story gets to the heart of what humanity is about. Am I going to receive and accept Jesus? The God, our God who was born in a manger. Am I going to believe him and accept him? And am I going to choose to humble myself and bow before the King of Kings? Or as this verse says, is one day, am I going to be forced to do that? Because when I look at the word of God, I believe, and I'm not even ashamed to say it, that the word of God says that all of creation is going to bow before him. Those things even under the earth. It could be devils or wicked souls or the dead. Everything is going to bow at Jesus. And today we have the opportunity to make the choice to bow before Jesus and to humble ourselves, to take a knee before him, to bow our hearts before him, and to say, Lord, I receive and I accept all that you have for me. And if today maybe you come to church once a year, twice a year, and you say this was a special day, and normally it's a real lighthearted message, and normally there's like laughing and fun, and today I believe that the Christmas story, it is so much better than fun, and it is fun, and it is exciting, and family is great, and we get to experience it, but it's all about us making a choice to to respond to the choice of Jesus, to his humbling, that we get to come and kneel before him, that we get to unify our hearts with him, that we get to experience him. And Jesus, because of his humility, went from high to low, but then God put him in a place from low to high. And I believe that today, people, maybe some in this room, they've been praying, I feel maybe even some specific people, that you're struggling and you feel like you've been pushed low. And I encourage you today, don't let people push you low, but bow before Jesus. Choose to be low before him. Choose to be obedient to him. Choose to offer him everything. And I believe, and I believe the word would speak, the model Jesus, that then God will be able to lift you up out of your situation and out of your problem, out of whatever has happened, maybe what's been done to you, things you had nothing to do with. But when we bow before the King of Kings, he lifts us and puts us in a place of strength. He puts us in a place of authority. He puts us in a place where we get to rule with him. The Bible says we get to be with him forever in heaven. And today we're going to take a minute. I just want to give the opportunity that if you're here today and you're like, this message is really serious, I believe that that is what the Christmas story is really serious. The Christmas story is everything. It should be everything to us. And if you say today, I have never given my life to this Jesus, but I believe, and not because of what I've said, the word is good and what the word has said, but maybe even Jesus, today you feel something. You feel him knocking on your heart. You feel him speaking to you. And if you'd say, today, I want to bow my knee. I want to bow my knee to the Savior of the universe and say, he humbled himself, and now it's my turn to do the humbling. And if that's you today, in a minute, we're going to pray. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to count to three, and on three, I'm going to ask every single person, if you say, I want to give my life to Jesus, I want to humble myself, then I'm going to ask you when we do that just to raise your hand high in the sky. Maybe today you're here and you maybe come to church all the time, but you know that deep in your heart, you're not serving him, you're not walking with him, you're not doing what he would have, you're not being all that he's called you to be. And I would encourage you, would you put yourself in that same spot? Not to say, I'm too good for that or I've been around church too long, but would you say, I'm going to humble myself. And today, I want to get real. Today, I'm going to bow before him. Today, I'm going to give him all. Today, I'm not going to leave Radiant Life Church, this place, without experiencing him and letting him change me. So when I go through the doors, when I leave and drive out of this parking lot, I'm his servant. I'm being obedient to him. And I believe that God is going to speak through Radiant, through the Radiant family this Christmas season to see people come to know him. What better day for a spiritual birthday than Christmas Day? And I'm believing and praying that some of your family members are going to come to know him because you've said yes and you've bowed your knee and you've humbled yourself. And God is going to reveal himself to your family. That is what Christmas is all about. So here today, if everybody in the room, if you would just bow your head, close your eyes. We do that. If you don't feel comfortable, you don't have to. We do that just to focus on God, what he would say, what he might speak to you. And right now, I encourage you, would you listen maybe for his voice? If you need to respond, if you need to humble yourself, if you need to say, I'm not living in the way that I should be, I'm not living for the us of our world, I'm living for me. Maybe you've put yourself on a high spot in your mind, and today you need to let God humble you so that he then can be the one that chooses to exalt. He be the one that chooses to lift you up. It's a whole lot less stressful that way. And I'm going to ask here in a moment that each of you that would respond in that way, that you would just throw your hand up when I get to the count of three, all over this room. And God, he loves you. He cares for you. And he wants to take you and let you and bring you into his family. He wants to help you with your problems and your situations. But today, it's up to you to respond, to take a knee. So I'm going to count to the count of three, and then I'm going to ask you, if that's you, just to raise your hand all over this room as high as you can so that I can see it. You can catch my eye when I see you. You can put your hand down, and then we're going to pray together as a church. So here we go, on the count of three. One, two, three. All over this room, yes. Yep. Others. You say, I need to humble myself before Jesus. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I don't want anybody to miss. Yes, over there. Thank you. Yep. All over this room. Anybody else? You say, that's me. Wonderful. So many. Now I'm going to ask as a congregation, as a whole congregation, that we would pray and we would ask God to help us. Lord, let us be humble before you. Lord, let us walk before you. And I believe that today, if this is your first time or you're giving your life anew to Jesus, that in this moment, he welcomes you into his kingdom and all of heaven, the Bible says, rejoice. Nothing better than this moment. So if you would, as a church, let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to earth and humbling yourself, taking the form of man, of living and dying for me, taking my sin when you rose again. Thank you, Jesus. And now, Jesus, I humble myself before you. Take me, my sin, my shame, my problems, and my successes. Make me new. Make me whole. And help me to be the servant that you've called me to be. Help me to love my world and take care of the world in showing them who you are. We love you and thank you. Thank you for taking us. In your name we pray. Amen. All over this, can we just give a hand for all of these that have given, either knelt for the first time or rededicated? It's the best. Thank you so, so much for responding. And I want to encourage you that I'm going to be at the front door and I'm going to have some, just the book of John. If you don't have a Bible or you want some information, there's some good information in the book. And I want to be able to bless you with that. So as you leave today, just come, you can grab one. It's yours. We want to see God move in your life.